Good evening. Radical love. Radical love. It's funny, when we talk about peace, rarely do we want to affix the catalyst and the instrument for the creation, establishment, and development of peace, which for me, for my social lens, is love. But I'm talking about a different kind of love, you know. It's a radical love. It's that love never fails, love conquers all type of love. Love is kind, love is gentle kind of love. That kind of love that'll make you want to give your life for somebody. Radical love. For me, that's what peace looks like. So my story, I have many. I really wanted to draw upon one from my Clementine Barfield's so sad days, but she tells those stories so much better than me, so I wouldn't dare tread in that territory. But the one I wanted to use today is a very personal one. I'm vividly reminded of a time 4 or 5 years ago when at that time my wife and my children, we were coming home from church. It's interesting, my pastor, Dr. Wendell Anthony, was preaching on love that particular day. And as I walked up to my home, to my front door, I saw that my door was open. Now, mind you, I'm a North Ender. I live on the North End. I love the North End. I eat, sleep, breathe, and drink the North End. I am North End through and through. My granddaddy store was on the North End, Brent's Market, right there in Horton and Bobie, and then my Uncle Sidney's store was on Oakland Boulevard. I mean, we are North End, true and true. Emma Brent used to feed the children and provide lemonade and Kool-Aid for the kids as they played in the streets, and all the pimps, the players, and the hustlers used to come to Brent's Market and talk there and meet there and convene there. Everyone felt safe in front of the Brent home, in front of Brent's Market on Horton Street in Bobie, and everyone felt loved. Everyone felt appreciated. No one was judged. Everyone felt equal on the North End on Horton and Bobie. I, too, stay on Horton and Bobie, right next door to my granddaddy's house, 503 Horton. I'm on 521 Horton. So 3-4 years ago, I'm walking up to my home with my wife and my children, and I see someone had broke into this Brent home. It's the same home where the brother who provided 150 jobs for young people every summer, the same home where the brother who was a community reintegration specialist for Flip the Script Goodwill had provided employment for over 200 black men who came home from prison. It's the same home where the brother was the community outreach specialist for the North End Governance Board and built block clubs and patrols regularly. It's the same home. They broke into my home. They broke into a Brent home. So I come to the door. I see my house had been broken into. I walk through the house just to see if there's anyone in there, but I know it was daytime. They had to have been gone. I see the back door had been kicked in or kicked out. Went upstairs, saw my doors were kicked in. I saw one door was off the hinges. Saw that my TVs were broken. All of my jewelry had been stolen. My Timberlands had been taken. My Air Force Ones were gone. They just took everything. And I can tell it was young people because I had a laptop over here and a desktop here. They didn't even touch that stuff. They just can't. They just took my PlayStation. You know, every grown man got to have PlayStation, right? So they took my PlayStation, my laptop, my iPad, and took my Timberlands and my Air Force Ones, you know. And it hurt me. It hurt me. I was more so hurt than I was angry because I felt violated, not because they had just broken into my home, but because I was one who served and put in work in that community. That's my community. Everyone knows Tafuri. How you gonna break into the brother who feeds you, who has taught you how to read, who has housed you and clothed you and given you opportunity and employed you and prayed with you? How do you break into my home? That hurt me. Hurt me. I wasn't angry. I was hurt. I felt betrayed. We're talking about radical love. So the old man in me wanted to do some very bad things to whoever did this. I must admit. There was a time in my life where we would go find these individuals and do great harm to them and maybe even their families. But that ain't radical love. It was radical love that transformed that person. But that ain't love to go do that. So the first thing I decided to do, I said, well, let me call some people because I'm going to get whoever did this. I'm going to find out who did this because I just want to ask a couple questions, not to mention the fact I want to get my stuff back. And I ain't calling the police, although I've worked with the police. I wasn't calling the police because I don't believe in locking brothers up for taking material things. Radical love. But I want to know who did this. I needed to know who did this to me. Who did this to us? Who did this to themselves? So I called a few brothers who I knew wasn't scared, who were courageous, strong brothers who had been through some things. I called some brothers who were formerly incarcerated, who had, you know, been through some challenges and some trials and some struggles, who could speak the lexicon of the streets, who understands how to interact with young brothers, how to approach young brothers, assuming it was brothers, come to find out it was brothers. But I needed somebody who wasn't scared. I don't need cowards around me when you're doing this street work, when you're doing this peace work. You can't be a coward doing this peace work. Cowardice and peace and fighting for peace or organizing for peace or working for peace don't go together, because oftentimes the elements that you have to interact with in order to create a culture, climate, and conscience for peace aren't very peaceful. So I called some brothers who I knew was about it. I called Yusuf Shakur. I called Raphael B. Johnson. I called Derek Blackman. Yusuf showed right up, because he's zone 8, I'm zone 2, right down the street. Raphael Johnson showed right up in his suit and his shoes, took his blazer off, of course, jumped out the car, man, what's up, what we gonna do? How you wanna handle this, Brother Tafuri? Called Brother Blackman. Brother Blackman couldn't make it at that particular time, but he constantly called to check on me, and I found out just really a few months ago why he did not show up, because he was so hurt by it, because he had done so much work for me in that community. He was really concerned about how at that time he would have responded to the situation. So he thought it was in the best interest of us and those individuals to sit back and collect himself and think about it, because it hurt him as well. He shared that with me recently. We went out. The first thing we did, I thought about how this could have happened. And it dawned on me, before I went to church that morning, there were a group of young men who walked down the street. And they stopped me at my gate, at my front gate, and said, Brother Shafuri, what's up, man? I said, what's up? There's about five of the brothers, five young brothers. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I thought it was strange they would be walking in groups at that time morning. That shows you how disconnected and detached I am, because I knew, you know, as I look upon it retrospectively, they were casing. Right. But I wasn't thinking like that at the time, because when you transform, your mind changes. Right. So I remember the young brothers who had stopped me and talked to me. And strangely, they would ask me about employment and work. And, hey, man, we need some help. Brother Tafuri, can you look out for us? I said, OK, sure, brother. Get back with me. In fact, Devious, give me your number and I'll get back with you. It was five brothers. Devious, Durrell, Darius, DeAndre, all of them named D. Right. Three brothers. And it was two other guys, Henry and another guy, who was with them, but it's five brothers, all of them named D, mama named Tamika Davis, stay right down the street from me. So that's the first place I went. I said, well, these were the last brothers I had seen, and they were together, and we know when cats do B&Es, that's how they operate. So we walked down the street, knocked on the door, me, Yusuf, Raphael, no fear, and said, are your sons, and Miss Davis, how you doing, Sister Davis, are your sons here? One of the young brothers came out. We had a real firm, strong, loving conversation with the brother. He didn't want to talk because he wasn't going to snitch. The next brother came out. We had a real strong, firm conversation with this brother. He began to give up a little bit more information. Another young man came out. This wasn't a brother but a friend. Raphael took this brother, isolated him, put his arm around him. It was a hard hug, too. I'm like, Ralph, don't hurt him. He took the young brother, walked him down the street, took him down to the corner. You can see him serving court right there on the corner, talking to the brother. You know, as if to say, man, how dare you violate this brother, man? You know what he does? You need to bring this man's stuff back. We're not going to tolerate that. Yusuf, forever being the peacemaker, believe it or not, Yusuf took another brother, took him to the other side of the porch. So at this time, Yusuf had a brother. Raphael had a brother, because you got to get them alone because they won't talk in front of each other. But when you catch them by themselves, they got a lot to say. So all three of us talked to him. And I'm telling you, within 15 minutes, Yusuf, tell me if I'm lying, within 15 minutes, brother came around the corner as if someone in the back room had made a call. Brother walks around the corner with two garbage bags full of my stuff. He walks around the corner. We went up and we hugged the brother. We embraced the brother. We let the brother know, brother, we're not going to convict you. We're not trying to incarcerate you. We're not trying to lock you up. We're not going to do harm with you, brother. We just want our things back. And most importantly, we want to know, what do we need to help you put yourself in a better situation so you don't feel compelled to go around and violate your own people, especially people who care about you? What do you need? So what do we do? Once I got all my things back, and there were some other events that occurred shortly thereafter, because some of my stuff was in an abandoned car right outside of my house in the trunk. All my Timberlands was in the trunk of the car. And the brother came and told me where they were, and he went there and he popped the trunk. Said, brother, hey, man, I saw somebody put these boots in the trunk of this vehicle. Now, you know, anyone know I saw? He was a part of it, right? He put them there, you know. So I went and got my boots. And I saw the young brothers a couple days later, and it kind of bothered me. I said, what could we do better to meet their immediate needs? This is radical love. At that time, I was community reintegration specialist for Flip the Script Goodwill, the premier holistic black male development program in the country. So here we are sitting on this great resource. How dare we not offer this resource to these brothers? After all, this is what Flip the Script was made for, to help black men flip their script. So as opposed to locking the brothers up, we invited three of the five brothers up to the Flip the Script program and enrolled them in Flip the Script Base. Two of the brothers, within a year and a half, two of the brothers got their GED. They got their, one of the brothers is to this day working on his diploma because he was a little younger. Two of the brothers got their driver's license fixed. And one of the brothers got some things removed from his record because he had some B&Es and some nonviolent crimes. The key here is that we went to the brothers exactly where they were, in love, not in fear, not looking to punish them for the things that they did, but to encourage them and lift them up and become instruments of transformation and salvation and restoration for the young brothers. To this day, I talk to these brothers. I talked to Devious 2 weeks ago. I said, brother, what are you doing? He said he's working at a stamping facility. Another one of the young men, his name is Henry. We got him a job right around the block from my house at Parks Barbecue, and to this day, he's working at North End Stamping. The brother told me just a week ago, Brother Shafuri, I never ever broke into another house after that because I'm forever grateful that you didn't harm me or you didn't lock us up. Talking about restorative justice, talking about radical love. So just because you broke into my house, that don't mean I got to break your life. Because those are just things. How much more is a black life worth? How much more did that opportunity of grace and mercy, right, mean to those young brothers? In regards to them recognizing that there are those who love them in spite of the mistakes that they make, who can look beyond the mistakes and look beyond their deficiencies and their flaws and their failures. That I love you because you're my brother, because you're my son, because you look just like me. And didn't nobody kill me and lock me up when I was just like you? Somebody gave me radical love and transformed my life. So how dare I not extend that same kind of love to you? So for me, that is what peace looks like. Loving even when it hurts. Loving even when you're victimized by the object of your love. loving those who you may fear, loving those who you may be angry at, loving those who at some point in time may not particularly care for you, but yet you still see God and goodness and greatness in them in spite of their immediate reality and how they may act, recognizing that their life is a book and it's not just a chapter. Radical love is what peace looks like to me.